Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. This time we've got articles on storage AI and even the Minidisc.
Wow. Blast from the past there with the Minidisc.
Yeah, so we'll get to that. But first, I noticed something interesting about storage, in particular hard drives.
Oh.
Yeah, so Seagate and Western Digital both had huge revenue jumps from HDD sales.
Really?
Yeah, like 57% and 76% increases.
Wow. And this is even with SSDs getting so popular.
Right. It's all about data centers needing tons of storage, and HDDs are just so cost effective for that.
Makes sense, especially with all the data we're generating these days.
Yeah. And the drives themselves are getting bigger, too. Seagate's average capacity per drive jumped from like 8.2 terabytes to 11.6.
Wow. That's a lot more data in the same space.
Exactly. And they even showed off a prototype 36 terabyte drive.
36 terabytes. That's insane.
And they're using technology like HR and SMR to make it happen.
Right. Heat assisted and shingled magnetic recording. Pretty cool stuff.
It is. But the ICE says HDDs could grow even more. But it depends on if manufacturers can keep increasing capacity and lowering costs.
Yeah, they've got to stay competitive with SSDs for sure.
Definitely. And speaking of storage, there's a lot happening with NAS, too.
Network attached storage, right?
And Allied Market Research predicts that market will triple in size by 2032.
Triple. Wow. So that's going to be a $96.1 billion market.
That's what they're saying. And it seems like it's because of all these different trends converging. Like needing reliable backups, dealing with so much unstructured data, and people working remotely more.
Oh, yeah. With remote work, you need really robust ways to share data.
Exactly. And that brings us to IO Data and their new HDL-LV series NAS solutions.
What's special about those?
Well, they're focusing on reliability and being affordable, and they have options for two drives, four drives, or even a rack-mounted four-drive system.
Okay, so you've got some flexibility there.
And they have capacities up to 32 terabytes.
Wow. That should cover most people's needs.
And they have this really neat feature called RAIDX.
I've heard of RAID, but what's RAIDX?
So RAID is redundant array of independent disks, and it spreads data across drives for protection. But RAIDX mirrors the data file by file, so you get extra protection.
Oh, wow. That's smart. And they even have ransomware protection, too.
Yeah, definitely a sign of the times.
For sure. And speaking of security, Broadcom has some new hardware, too.
They do. It's called the Emulex Secure Fiber Channel Host Bus Adapter.
Okay, that's a mouthful. What does it do?
Basically, it encrypts data as it's traveling between servers and storage.
So it's protecting against those sneaky ransomware attacks.
Exactly. And it lines up with what governments are asking for with regulations like CNSA 2.0 and NES to DORA.
Those are all about cybersecurity, right?
Yep. Pushing for things like post-quantum encryption and zero trust architectures.
Sounds like Broadcom is ahead of the curve then.
They might be. Now moving on from security. Let's talk about the cloud and AI.
Okay. Sounds good.
So Kioxia developed this open source technology called IAQ.
IASAQ. Okay. I don't think I've heard of that one.
It's pretty new. And it helps manage all that data AI systems need.
So how does it do that?
Well, instead of relying on expensive DRAM to store and process the data, ISAQ, lets developers search it directly on SSDs.
Oh, wow. That's clever. So it makes retrieval augmented generation faster and more cost effective.
Exactly.
That could really change the game for AI development.
It could, but not everything is positive news in the storage world.
What happened?
Some drama with Seagate hard drives.
Really? What happened?
A user found signs of use on new Seagate Exos drives.
What do you mean signs of use?
Like they had been used before, even though they were sold as new.
How could they tell?
They checked the farm values, and it showed tens of thousands of operating hours.
Tens of thousands. There's no way those are new.
And Heise Online reported at least 50 similar cases.
Wow. So this wasn't just a one-off thing?
Nope. Seems more widespread, and Seagate's denying involvement.
So where are all these used drives coming from?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Definitely something to keep an eye on.
For sure. Now, for something a bit lighter, let's talk about the Minidisc.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that earlier. What's going on with the Minidisc?
Sony officially stopped production.
Really? Of the Minidisc?
Yep. Recordable Minidiscs, MD data discs, even mini DV cassettes.
Wow. End of an era, I guess.
It is. But it makes sense. Streaming and digital storage just took over.
Yeah, that's true. But I did hear mini discs are still used in some professional audio settings.
Really? Because of their reliability?
Yeah, I guess they're not going away completely then.
Maybe not. Now, let's switch gears and talk about performance.
Okay, hit me with it.
Overclocker? HiCookie smashed the DDR5 frequency record.
No way! What did he get?
12,726 MTs.
12,726 MTs.
Hold on. Right. That's mega transfers per second, right?
You got it.
That's incredibly fast. How'd he do it?
Well, he used a gigabyte Z890 Aorus Tachyon Ice Motherboard.
Okay, that's a good start.
A V-Color memory module, an Intel Core Ultra 9 285K CPU, though we downclocked it, and liquid nitrogen cooling.
Liquid nitrogen, wow, they don't mess around with these overclocking records.
Nope. And this just shows the amazing potential of DDR5.
For sure, it's going to change everything from gaming to research.
Now, last but not least, we have something for all the Home Assistant fans out there.
Oh, okay. What is it?
The Home Assistant Voice Preview Edition.
Preview Edition? Sounds new.
It is. It's a brand new voice assistant designed specifically for Home Assistant.
Interesting. And who's behind it?
Nabucasa.
Yeah.
The creators of Home Assistant themselves.
So they're making their own voice assistant.
Yep. And it's open source, privacy focused, has dual microphones, advanced audio processing, and even a Grove port for adding sensors.
Wow, they really packed it with features.
They did, and it all comes in this sleek, injection-molded case with tactile controls.
That's pretty cool.
And it's a preview edition, so users can get involved and help shape its future.
That's a neat way to do it, get the community involved.
Exactly.
It really is amazing how we used to worry about fitting all our music on an MP3 player, and now we're talking about petabytes of data.
I know, it's crazy how much things have changed.
Yeah. Speaking of managing all that data, there was this story about a new storage system from TrueNAS.
Oh, yeah, the H30. I was just reading about that.
It's pretty incredible. It can hold so much data.
Like, how much are we talking?
Well, it has 12 bays, and each one can take a 60-terabyte NVMe drive.
60 terabytes per drive. That's insane.
And it has 100 GBE connectivity, so it can move that data really fast.
NVMe, that's the super fast interface for SSDs, right?
Yep. Non-volatile memory express. It's how you unlock the true speed of SSDs.
So this H30, it's got speed, it's got capacity. What else?
Well, TrueNAS is calling it the Swiss Army knife of storage because it can do so much.
Okay, like what?
It can handle all sorts of enterprise workloads, databases, virtual machines, high performance computing, you name it.
Wow, that's a lot. And it works with both NVMe SSDs and SAS HDDs, right?
That's serial attached SCSI. It's another interface often used for hard drives in enterprise settings.
So you can choose the best storage for what you need.
Exactly. Need speed. Go all NVMe, want to balance performance and cost, mix in some HDDs.
That's a great option to have. And it can scale up pretty big too, right?
Oh yeah, you can start with one H30 and add more for up to 114 drive bays.
Wow, so how much total storage is that?
Over 2.5 petabytes.
That's like 500 years of HD video.
Something like that. They definitely went all out.
TrueNAS is serious about the enterprise market then.
Seems like it. And speaking of serious, we were talking about the mini disc earlier and how Sony stopped making them.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast technology can become obsolete.
It is, but it also makes you wonder what technologies we use today will be gone in a few years.
That's a good point. Like, what will be the next mini disc?
Who knows? But it's fun to think about.
And on the other end of the spectrum, we have those pushing the limits of technology, like that DDR5 overclocking record.
Oh, yeah, 12,726 MTs. That was amazing.
I can't even imagine how fast that is.
It really shows what's possible with hardware when you push it to the extreme.
And sometimes those extreme tests lead to improvements that everyone benefits from.
Right, it's like a trickle-down effect from the bleeding edge to everyday devices.
Exactly. And speaking of everyday devices, we've talked about storage a bit already, but NAS is definitely worth a deeper look.
Network-attached storage, it's becoming really popular.
It is, and it's not just about backing up your files anymore.
Right. A lot of them can stream media, give you remote access, even run apps.
It's like having your own cloud server at home or in the office.
Exactly. And security is getting better, too, with features like RAID encryption and ransomware protection.
Definitely important these days. And that reminds me of those Broadcom adapters we talked about.
The ones that encrypt data between servers and storage?
Yep. They're helping to secure those enterprise data centers.
Which is super important as we move towards zero trust architectures.
No more trusting anything by default.
Exactly. And it looks like Broadcom is leading the charge there.
Now, before we move on, I want to circle back to Kioxia and their AOSQ technology.
Oh, yeah, the one that lets AI systems work directly with data on SSDs.
Right. It could really change how AI is developed.
Especially since it reduces the reliance on expensive DRAM.
And that could make AI more accessible to smaller companies and researchers.
Which could lead to a whole wave of new innovation in AI.
It's exciting to think about. It's amazing how we've covered everything from hard drives to the mini disk.
Right. And who knew the mini disc was still kicking around in some places?
I know, right? But out of everything we talked about, it's the AI stuff that really sticks with me.
Yeah, AI is moving so fast, it's hard to keep up.
And it's not just the tech itself, it's what it means for us.
you know.
Like how it's going to change our lives.
Exactly. And Kioxia's ASCQ technology really gets at that.
Oh, yeah. The one that lets you search data directly on SSDs.
Right. It could really change who has access to AI.
I mean, right now, developing AI is expensive. You need a lot of computing power.
But with ASAQ, you don't need as much expensive DRAM.
So smaller companies and researchers could do more with AI.
It's like democratizing AI in a way.
Exactly. But then that raises questions about responsibility, you know?
Like if anyone can develop AI, how do we make sure it's used ethically?
That's the big challenge, isn't it?
We need to think about bias, transparency, accountability, all of it.
Bias is a huge issue. Like if the data used to train an AI is biased, then the AI will be biased too.
And that can lead to all sorts of problems. Discrimination, unfair outcomes, the list goes on.
And it's not always easy to spot those biases either.
Especially in these really complex AI systems.
We need better ways to find and fix those biases before they cause harm.
Couldn't agree more. And then there's transparency.
If we don't know how an AI makes decisions, how can we trust it?
That's a good point. We need to be able to look under the hood, so to speak.
And know why an AI does what it does.
Exactly. Especially for things like hiring or loan applications.
Those decisions have a huge impact on people's lives.
And if an AI is making those decisions, we need to know it's doing so fairly.
And then there's accountability.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one.
If an AI makes a mistake or causes harm, who's responsible?
Is it the developer, the user, the company that deployed it?
It's a legal and ethical minefield.
We need some clear rules around all this. Definitely. But it's not all doom and gloom.
Right. There's a lot of good that can come from AI, too.
It can solve problems, help people make things more efficient.
The potential is really limitless.
But we need to be careful and thoughtful about how we develop and use it.
Couldn't agree more. It's a powerful tool, and we need to use it wisely.
And speaking of tools that empower people, let's talk about the Home Assistant Voice Preview Edition.
Oh, yeah. That new voice assistant designed specifically for Home Assistant.
I think it's a great example of how technology can give people more control.
Because it's open source, right?
Exactly. Users can customize it, make it their own.
They're not locked into what some big company decides.
And they have more control over their data, too.
Privacy is a big deal these days.
It is. And it's great to see a company like Nabucasa putting users first.
Hopefully we see more of that in the future.
So as we wrap things up here, what are some things you hope our listeners take away from all this?
Well, first, I hope they're excited about the future of technology. There's so much cool stuff happening.
I know, right? It feels like we're on the cusp of something big.
But it's not just about being excited. It's about being informed and engaged.
We need to understand this technology so we can use it for good.
And make sure it serves humanity.
Exactly. We have a responsibility to shape the future of technology.
It's not something that just happens to us. We have a say in it.
So stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.
Well said, and thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
It's been a great conversation, and we'll see you all next time.